Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody out there listening, and welcome to Shouting Into the Void, our nerdy little podcast where we answer the hypothetical questions that you never even knew that you had. My name is Mike.
And I'm Cody.
And this week's question is, what powers would you give to your warlock?
No, not the right time of year.
It's always Halloween when you're a warlock. All right, folks, we're going to get into the question in a little bit, but those of you who've been with us for a while know that we're getting the announcements out of the way at the beginning of the episode.
That's right.
So more people hear them. So, folks, if you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoy the topics of D&D, pop culture, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, anime, Harry Potter, Lord of the Ring, anything in that realm, in and outside of it, if you enjoy that shit, give us a like, follow, subscribe, a rating, review, comment. We would love to hear from you. Like, we're getting a lot of interaction on the Instagram, which is great. We love interacting with our fans, talking to folks, hearing what we got wrong, getting corrected. And any kind of engagement is wonderful because it shows us that people are listening to what we're doing. And it, you know, it's fun because we don't do this because it's our job. We don't do this like out of some crazy goal to make it big. We joke about it, but that's, you know, it's a pipe dream. We do this to make people laugh, to take an hour out of our week and bullshit with each other. And we do this, you know, to have fun. And if you guys are having fun, we love knowing that because it motivates us to do more.
That's
so
right.
If you can interact with us on social media or give us a follow or a rating or a review, that's huge.
Or tell your friends. That's a huge way that you can support the show.
Please tell your friends. Tell your gaming group. Tell your D&D group. Tell your friends you go see movies with. Tell your grandparents. Tell your parents. Tell your boss. Tell your customers.
By the way, happy episode 75, by the way.
Hell yeah.
Pretty 75. Nice.
75.
You got 75 ad-free episodes you can tell your friends about.
Absolutely. And can guarantee that there's something out there for just about everybody.
That's right.
And for those of you that are particularly interested in supporting us financially, we have a Patreon. Cody, do you want to run them through the Patreon?
Sure. We have a Patreon out there. It's a great way for you to financially support the show if you have the means to do so. For $5 a month, you get yourself an extra bonus mini episode every week. So the regular episode drops on Mondays like normal, and then we have a mini episode, usually about a half hour long, and they drop on Fridays.
Right.
Like I said, those are $5 a month, and you'll get yourself an extra mini episode every week. So, you know, it's like $1.50 or something like that you're spending on an episode. So pretty good deal.
$1.50, $1.25, something in that.
Something in that range.
Math in our
suit. I'm sure it doesn't divide evenly.
But the same mathing into the void.
There's also some other benefits. You get a role on our Discord channel, as well as a more direct line to Mike and myself for pitching ideas or any kind of input that you may have. We tend to favor the Patreon for sure. Make sure that those people are being kept happy.
Because they pay us. So
they pay us. That's right.
If you want more say in what we talk about, jump on the Patreon because we'll take ideas from anywhere. But if we have someone who's got a request, they get first dibs. So,
that's right.
Topics include all sorts of stuff. We just did one on the lore of the Soul Calibur universe. We just released one about Stormlight Archive, the popular book series by Brandon Sanderson. We've gone all over this crazy nerdy multiverse. So
yeah.
If you're at all interested, there's a ton of bonus content out there. I think we're up to like 22 Patreon episodes now.
Yeah, something like that. I think this week's is the 22nd or the 23rd. I can't remember. But yeah, there's a bunch of them now at this point. So, you know, as soon as you make the account and pledge your first month to us, you get access to all the back catalog as well. So
yep, there's nothing
you get a
out
lot
there.
Of extra content out there.
There's nothing out there that you can't get. And that's we're right. going to shout them out. Let's give a shout out to Colin and Carl and Haley and Greg and Jimmy. Y'all are phenomenal. And we love you all so much.
Yeah.
But back to our regularly scheduled programming. Cody, let's talk about what powers we'd give our warlocks. Now, this is a very open-ended question.
Yeah.
this might be more philosophizing into the void.
I think this was like shower thoughts on the road at one point.
Sure.
This was definitely one of the ones where I just text you out of the blue with something in quotes, and that's like our code for this is an episode idea.
Right. Because if you had asked me that without quotes, I would have started trying to answer the question. But if it's in quotes, I know it's, oh, he wants to talk about it on the pod.
That's right. Yeah. So this was definitely a shower thought or maybe a plain thought.
Right.
But I always think it's kind of interesting, right? Because specifically, I was thinking about this kind of in the context of Dungeons and Dragons, where
right. that was going to be my first thing is let's go over warlocks.
So you have some kind of powerful being of some kind who is agreed to give another, usually a humanoid or a person, but to basically give them a portion of that power, usually in the form of magic, in order to go do their bidding or serve their will kind of thing.
And it's not even necessarily do their bidding. Sometimes it can be a specific task. It can be like, you're going to go and get me this artifact. Or, hey, 3 days out of the year, you're going to do exactly what I tell you because I need you to do these things at this specific
time. And you'll ask no questions. Yeah.
And you're going to ask no questions because this crazy powerful being has given you the ability to shoot blasts of energy from your hands or see in pitch darkness or speak every language and read every language ever written. Like, just whatever you want, bullshit.
Yeah,
like
powerful magic, for sure.
Like, arguably stuff that in-game, in D&D, gets around a lot of the rules.
Yes, definitely.
Warlocks are, they're underpowered as hell in 5e, and I'll fight anyone who says otherwise. But they're very adaptable. You can make a warlock almost as adaptable as a bard in that they can do anything if you flavor them right.
Yeah, they're also, I always think of them as a much more flexible magic user as well. Only in the concept that you don't have different versions of spell slots. You just have a small number of spell slots that cast any spell.
Tiny number of spells. You have two, maybe three.
Right. And but to that extent, I think of a warlock all the time as a Swiss Army knife kind of thing, where it's
they're your wetworks guy too.
Yeah. Well, and you can they only adaptable. Have a couple spell slots or whatever, but they also get them back on a short rest. So it makes it easier than a wizard sometimes to, be able to
if a wizard uses all his spells, he's fucking useless for the rest of the day,
right.
Which is kind of cool, to do, we're going to be talking Dresden at numerous times during this episode for various reasons, but, in the Fate system, this is an aside, as the wizard character in Dresden, you can take conditions called burnt out. And so if I decide to go burnt out, all of my magical actions roll at a +2 for the rest of the scene I'm in. But then I can't use any magic after that until the GM says, okay, you've rested enough and recovered. That's going to the well, pulling everything out.
Yeah, so, you're emptying the tank.
Yep, leaving it all on the court. That's a D&D wizard, whereas a warlock is I'm a little tired. Give me 5 minutes, I'll be okay. Let's go. Let's keep going.
Right as rain here in a few minutes.
More spell slots. So to kind of circle back, because we're going to go on lots of tangents. A warlock is, in the case of this episode in Dungeons & Dragons, a person or character that has made a deal with a more powerful entity, being, spirit, something, to gain power in exchange for providing some kind of service.
Correct. Yeah. And in this case, we are that all-powerful being.
Right.
Given out the powers.
Right. Which is as the world should be.
Because that is one thing we didn't talk about, really, is that depending on who that patron is, it can affect your powers, and in the D&D universe, that translates to affecting your spell slots.
Right.
And what spells you have that are available to you.
Right. Like if you make a deal with like a red dragon, you're going to get lots of cool fire spells and abilities. Or if you make a deal and blasty stuff, or if you make a deal with like an elder god Cthulhu type figure, you're going to get lots of like darkness and inky black tentacle spells.
Hunger of Hadar.
Hunger of Hadar. Or, you know, if you make a deal with the Winter Queen to become the Winter Knight, like the Winter Knight does in Dresden Files, you've met Lloyd Slate.
You get
all kinds of wintry powers. All sorts of fun stuff like that. Or if you pick up a blackened Denarius and make a deal with a fallen angel.
So, do you consider that a warlock ship?
I do because of the way it's depicted. And you haven't seen the last of the Denarians.
For sure. I'm in a Denarian book right now.
You're going to see a lot of them in small favor. And the style depends on the fallen angel in question. But
okay, that makes sense.
There's definitely some that are like, hey, I can make your magic way better. Like, let's take you to magic school, crash course. Let's go. Mm-hmm. But you're saying you and I, Cody, are these beings now, these entities. So here's my question. How do you want to play this? Do you want to play this as if we are just these powerful beings and we can give them whatever powers we choose? Or are you, Cody, a powerful being that specializes in all the things Cody specializes in, and you have to give them Cody-related powers?
I like both ideas.
We can do both.
I like the idea of, I mean, perhaps they have to be like Cody-based powers, but I got to figure out what my powers are.
Well, right. So those are kind of the two sides of the coin, right? I think we can explore both of them. We've got plenty of time. We can talk about both what powers in general would be nice to have versus if Mike and Cody were deities in this universe, what powers could we give to our followers?
Or like, what powers would we most want to give to our followers?
And what would we want from our warlocks? That's the other half.
That's a great question.
Right. So are we talking modern day, like modern day Earth, like modern society? Because I think that's the most applicable.
Okay, let's start there.
All right. If you were going to have an agent in this world, Cody, a servant, a devotee, what powers do you think would be most useful? Like, what would you want to be able to do, actually?
I think the power that I'm going to lean towards for this, and one that I had thought of quite a bit, like leading up into this episode, I think I want to bestow like cooking powers onto someone.
Are you fucking reading my goddamn mind right now?
Nope.
I'm just sitting here like, I want to be a fucking master chef.
Well, and my thing is too, like, I don't. So like, if I'm this all powerful being, right? The way I want to frame this and how I want to find my warlock is like, I want to find someone who is like trying to open the next big restaurant in New York City or something like that, right?
Sure.
Someone who is like hungry to be this chef and like a high level, you know, professional restaurant owner. And then
you say, you have to name your restaurant Hunger of Hadar, but I will give you power.
Man, that's so good.
That's the deal.
So good. Oh, I love it. But yeah, so then like, and basically I think the stipulations of me giving them these powers to cook incredible food would be basically that I have a ticket to eat whatever I want to. Like, I'm gonna always have a table at the restaurant
set aside in the corner. Like, it'll be a physical table, and someone could walk up and be like, hey, I'd like to eat. Oh, no, sorry, sir, we're full. What? No, you got a free table in the corner. No, that's not your table, sir. Like,
yeah.
Like, nobody gets
nobody
to sit
sits
there.
At that table.
I don't care if it's the president of the United States. They don't get that table. But Cody gets that table.
Imagine it, though. I think a cooking patron is super cool. Like,
that is pretty cool.
Imagine the, like, you know, they take up the powers and all of a sudden their knife skills are just off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just flying through everything. The food is magically delicious, like Lucky Charms.
I was, again, you're one step ahead of me today, Cody. This is, oh boy. He's on one, folks.
Oh, yeah. I'm fucking...
So, yeah, there is it just the cooking side, or is it the restaurant side as well? Like, are they a good kitchen manager? Are they a good head chef? Can they hire good people? Like, do they put a good presentation together? Or is it literally just the raw cooking skill?
Because there's now that's interesting. I think it has to just be raw cooking skill that I can provide. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the business side, the personnel stuff, I mean, maybe I make them a little more charismatic when they accept the powers, but like, sure. I don't know if I like bestowing like leadership powers onto my warlock.
Why not? They still answer to you.
Cause you know, I don't want to make it too easy. I don't think.
I mean, so
look, I gave you the powers to be the best chef in New York City. And you're telling me that you can't run a successful restaurant with those powers? It's on you.
There's a lot of people out there that are really good at running restaurants that are shitty cooks. And there's a lot of phenomenal cooks that suck at running restaurants.
That's fair. That's very fair. I don't know, maybe that's the like power hungry, like megalomaniac in me or something, where it's like,
you can have one or the other.
I don't want to just give this person these powers. Like, I want him to earn it a little bit.
I mean, is Ratatouille not just this story? Like,
kind of, yeah.
Like,
maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm like,
a rat just bestows...
put this rat on your head. This is how you're gonna get everything you want. I'm the rat head warlock.
I'm the rat king. Cody the rat lord.
I'm into
his goal. His goal is to install a rat controlled chef in every restaurant in the world.
Is this like a, oh man, this is a great, we're really good at writing campaigns on this.
We're excellent at writing campaigns.
Because now I am just making all these warlocks who I'm giving these rats to, yep, who control these chefs to cook incredible foods.
Yep.
And then eventually, you have
a table anywhere.
And then eventually my plan is that the rats will just take over someday.
Yep.
And I will have an army of rat people chefs who cannot avoid my influence.
And think
because
of the
they've
money
all accepted
you're
the rat.
Think of the money you're making.
No, but I'm saying now I will have an army.
Oh yeah, well, and they'll have meat cleavers. They're chefs.
I have to say, this could be a full episode right now. We could just switch the episode. Ratatouille scares the fuck out of me. Like, how? It is the most bizarre premise of a movie that I have ever seen. It's so wild that we are meant to believe in this movie that this rat can go and yank this dude's hair and it causes his body to move like a puppet. Like, beyond his free will, this guy gets his hair yanked and, like, his fucking arms go crazy. Like... And we're supposed to, that's like the easy, like they don't even like, there's no story to justify why that happens. We're just supposed to be like, well, I guess if this rat yanked on my hair, that's what would happen to my arms. Like,
so like you're like, oh my
like
God,
what
yeah.
powers does this rat have to control humans?
Or is it just the hair? Like in the Ratatouille verse, is it just yanking on your hair? The funniest fucking shot in that movie to me is when Linguini's asleep and Remy's still controlling him and he's mm-hmm. on the date with Colette or Cosette or whatever her name yep. is.
It's not Cosette. That's Les Mis.
Oh, well, I've never seen Les Mis. I've just heard about it. But I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna describe it for the folks that are listening along at home. When he's asleep and he's mm-hmm. like leaning back in his chair and then Remy like has him tilt his head forward and his glasses go like...
Yep. They God. Go down to the end of his nose.
They go down to the end of his nose, and he just yeah. looks so Parisian, like, I am lay over this. Like,
yeah, there's that one, I love in that movie right before he gets slapped. I think it's in that same scene, and he's sleeping yeah. or whatever, and his head kind of, like, rolls to the side.
Too funny.
And she slaps him. It's the best. But what yeah. I can't understand in the Ratatouille verse is, like, we need a Ratatouille 2 only to see one scene. And the scene that I need to see in this movie is Ratatouille getting on someone else's head and pulling their hair see if it is a universal. His name is Remy, by the way. His name's not Ratatouille because I fucked it up.
No, we're going to clarify. The rat's name is Remy, but we're going to call him Ratatouille because that's what his name is.
Yeah, right. But I need to know if this is a, if it's the rat who has the powers and this is like a reflex type of thing, or like, can any rat pull on my hair and control me like a puppet? Or is it only this guy who's got the fucking hair genes?
I think it's got to be any rat, and Remy Ratatouille is the first one to discover it.
That's a terrifying premise,
right?
Mike.
Because he shows that's the so other rats, scary. Right? The other rats find out, don't they?
The other rats do find out. They actually, there's another terrifying scene in that movie. Let's just make this a Ratatouille podcast at this point. But there's another scary scene in that where after they learn, they tie up the bad guy and they put him in the walk-in refrigerator.
Yeah, they've already shown that they're capable of like functioning as a fucking hive mind.
Yeah, they like overtake this person and tie him up and take him hostage.
Like, they're so
in an industrial cooler.
That's fucked up because those things, I have like an irrational fear of getting trapped in one of those.
Yeah, we used to have them in the fraternity house in college. Yep. And I used to have like irrational fear that two things. First of all, I would go into it to like cook or whatever. And the door, they're like built kind of on a tilt so that they close.
Stay closed. Yeah, like a normal fridge should be. Like you adjust your normal fridge so it does that.
So it like fails closed, right? So if you were to leave it open, eventually it would
swing
shut.
That is an excellent way to describe that. But I'm, more than one of our listeners is going to understand. Yes. Fridge doors fail closed.
They fail closed. Yep. And so I would go in there and I'd be just like looking around, not knowing what I wanted to cook for dinner or something like that. And that door would shut and two things would go through my head. First of all, it'd be like, well, now I'm stuck in here and I just die. Because they were in the basement. And nobody's rooms were in the basement.
No, and so no one would go down there.
No one would hear me. Yeah. Like, wouldn't matter. It could be hours.
Instead of in space, no one can hear you scream. It's in the walk-in freezer. No one can hear you scream.
But the other irrational fear I had, because usually this happened late at night, because I was almost nocturnal in college. So I would be down there, like, super late, whatever, and looking for food. And it would close. I'd be like, okay, I'm stuck in here forever. But then the other side of my brain would panic and be like, pray to God that door doesn't like slam open. Like, I'd have this fear that like someone was going to come in.
Oh my
God. So I was doomed either way. It was terrible.
Yep. You were fucked. 100%. Yep.
But I had this irrational fear of like, I'd be like looking through the box of frozen chicken breast or something, be it like going to grab out food and somebody just like huck the door open and be like, have the kitchen knife or something. Yep. I watched too many horror movies, I'm sure.
And so when that happened to Chef Skinner in the movie, you were probably like, no,
what is not the rats? What's the guy's name? Fettuccine or something.
Linguini.
Like that. Linguini, that's it.
Linguini!
Linguini's totally, you're right.
Bring me pictures of Spider-Man.
Man, so I need to know if it's a Linguini thing or if it's the rat has powers to pull your hair and control you.
I think it's neither of those, Cody. It's in the Ratatouille-verse.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody or anything pulling on some human's hair could do that.
So theoretically, I could pull anyone else's hair if I knew how.
If you knew how. But I think,
chop onions.
Right, but I think it's like, I don't know, is there a scene in the movie when someone else tries to grab his hair? Because I don't know if there is, and I could be wrong.
I don't think there is.
Okay. So then I think it's like a body control, like hair thing. And I don't like it. Right. Well, what does a Ratatouille 2 look like? Because now the rats know the secret.
So this is just like the face hug. So Ratatouille 2 is just like
aliens
face huggers. Yeah, like it's just it's just like swarms of rats in the streets, like people running away from them, and then managing to like climb up someone's back as they're just trying to fight them off.
It's just Suicide Squad levels of rats.
That's
at the end.
Exactly what it is.
It's Ratcatcher 2 levels of rats, just like tidal waves chasing people down. Because they've already shown they can band together like a fucking hive mind, like living wave.
Yep. Oh,
so man. They take you over and they make you do whatever they want you to do. And if you resist, they throw you in the walk-in freezer.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much that the walk-in freezer's involved now, too.
Well, they know it works, right?
Oh, God. I'm, like, crying.
And so then imagine, right? You're in the walk-in freezer, and you're cold. Mm-hmm. And then the door opens, and there's a clearly rat-controlled person there. And they're, like, looking at you upset because they don't want to be doing this. But they say, the rats want me to ask you if you've reconsidered.
You know, that's the craziest part of this whole, like, imagining this whole hellscape that is Ratatouille 2, where, like, they don't get to, the hare never is shown to be able to, like, control speech. Mm-mm. So, like, you would be forced to do, like, all these things while also being, like, having your free will and ability to speak.
Yep.
So you're just, like, tying someone up in the walk-in fridge, like... And the person is crying, just be like, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to do this.
It hurts, I'm sorry, I can't. It
makes me do this every day.
They've told me this is my job, I didn't ask for this. I don't want to do this.
Fucking horrible. Oh. Yep.
We have imagined a hellscape.
Yeah, well, what if I am the... Maybe that's like my... patron name. I'm like the puppet master or something like that. And
okay,
I'm giving out the Ratatouille rats. Right. That's my thing.
You will.
How the fuck did we get here? How did we get here that I just said that sentence?
I don't fucking know, man.
Oh God.
We're gonna have to title this episode like.
Kind what of Ratatouille.
Warlocks, Ratatouille, and you.
Oh my God.
He's crying, folks. Like he's
It doesn't make any sense.
None of it does. But
I've spent way too much time thinking about Ratatouille in my life. Because that is absolutely terrifying.
It's, like, it's that meme with the couple in bed and she's thinking, he's probably thinking about other girls. Mm-hmm. And like you fill in something on the other side. And I just want to Photoshop Cody's face on it and have the speak or the think bubble say Ratatouille.
Dude, I have thought about that movie a lot, but I think, and maybe to bring it back to Ratatouille, here we go. So I think maybe the reason that I'm giving out chef powers like this is that I want to experience the moment where like he closes his eyes and it's all black behind him and it's the little like swirly things,
the food acid little, like,
yeah,
the, when you get
I want
the,
that
I'm gonna throw you a little bone here, Cody, when the food spren come out.
Oh, that's good. That's real good.
Like three people get that joke. So when
that's
he, all right. when
lots
he
of closes, people have read that series.
I know. When he closes his eyes and they're like, when you put the cheese with the strawberry and then it's like a funky beat. Like,
yeah, and like the jazz music starts playing and stuff. And
that is a cool scene.
Moving and swirling around him. And yeah.
And that's how they get you, Cody, because all of a sudden you have a rat in your hair and you're fucking chopping up cheese into little rat sized chunks and handing them out to all the rats. Mm-hmm. So is this... Did this episode turn into what powers would we give our warlock so they could lead the uprising in Ratatouille?
I mean, it's become that now. We haven't even talked about what you're going to do. That was our first idea, and we went down the darkest, like, Ratatouille rat hole that's out there.
So, all right, we asked what world this was happening in. Are we assuming this is happening?
It's happening in Ratatouille world.
It's happening in the Ratatouille hellscape, right?
The Ratatouille-verse.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give my warlock the power to travel back in time and tell them, you have to go back in time. You have to go to France. You have to go to this restaurant, Gusteau's, isn't it?
Gusteau's, yep.
You got to go to Gusteau's. You have to find this skinny French, what is he? He's ginger, right? He's redhead. This like skinny French fuckboy and his pet rat. And you have to kill both of them.
So now we're mortal enemies.
Yes.
You're trying to stop my agent.
I am trying to stop your ratting.
Ratatouille 2, the ratting. Summer 2023.
Rat-a-3. I hit him when he was drinking beer.
It's much like...
Banjo-Kazooie.
No, it makes me think of Mad Max. Because the first Mad Max... I don't know how much you've watched Mad Max before, but the first Mad Max is just like Mel Gibson being a relatively regular person.
Sure.
And then in 2 is when it gets post-apocalyptic. Like, it's just it's regular Earth in the first Mad Max. Like, right, it's just Australia. He's got a wife. It's real normal.
Right. And then it just gets cranked up.
Then everyone after that is like, fuck it. Like, this is the apocalypse. Let the world burn. Right. Like, and I mean, I love those movies, but it just makes me think that like the first Ratatouille is this nice like chef movie. And then the second one is like facehugger style mind control with all these rats and like
it's opens
almost up, zombie-ish.
The movie opens and it's like shots of Paris from above and like it's burning and smoking and then like news stories like rats blah, 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 and then you hear like like siren and it's like a breakdown and then you hear fucking Linguini's voice like, well, after the rats figured out that they could control us, things kind of got worse.
Things changed.
And then like, I don't know, like, why am I imagining like a rat chain gang? Like, like a bunch of humans with pickaxes, like mining something for the rats, and the rats are on their heads, like making them swing the pickaxes.
See, that's my favorite part of the whole thing is that like, that they get that like, they can't control their body. Like the person can't, but that they're like, they can still talk to each other and be like, what the fuck is going on? They're like swinging an axe.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Yep. It's the terrible worst.
But it's, I don't know why I enjoy this.
This is the future you have brought about with your warlock.
No, I know. I just said, like, I don't know why I enjoy this as much as I do, but it's good. It's very good.
This is so fucked. Like,
look, this is not at all where I wanted to be. I started this with let's open a restaurant, and this is how we got here. But now I'm all in. So world domination. Here we go.
We're here. All right. So
my rat puppets.
That when we eventually do a dollop style intro of just random quotes from all the episodes.
This one's full of it, by the way.
My rat puppets.
My rat puppets.
Oh God.
Oh, fuck.
Hot Real Bad's gotta be in there too.
How did we get here? This is horrible.
This is simultaneously our worst and best episode yet.
I think I can hear listeners turning us off here.
That's fine. For you lucky few that have stuck around.
We gotta get off Ratatouille. I can't get away from it, but we have to.
All right, so let's rewind. Let's get away from cooking powers. Let's try to salvage some warlock out of this shit.
All right.
And we're back, folks. No, I just traded in my truck a couple weeks back, and I don't know what the alarm on the new car sounds like. So I was like, is that mine?
Does it sound like that?
It does not.
Okay. That's good.
So getting off of restaurants and cooking in Ratatouille, I'm trying to think of what, you know, I think going away from where you went, mm-hmm. which is you said, I don't want to give my warlock like any kind of charismatic powers. In D&D, warlocks are charisma-based casters.
Right.
And what is more charismatic, what is more important in the modern era than being popular and charismatic? You have influencers, politicians, like billionaire oligarchs. You mm-hmm. have social media stars. You have crazy TikTokers, YouTubers. Like,
yep.
I would give my warlock the power of popularity and force of personality and tell them, you will be successful in any venture you choose. Your job is to put yourself in control of as much of the world as you can to prepare the globe for my arrival.
This is very scary. This is very scary. And we need to stop you at all costs. Mine is scary for no reason. Like, mine is not that all that scary. Yours is scary because it's like too real.
A little bit.
Because all I can think of, right, is now you are the patron god of influence here.
Influencers, that's right.
And so I don't love the idea of giving someone like super social media powers. That's terrifying.
What would you give to become the most popular podcast on the planet?
Honestly, not that much. You're talking to the wrong guy. I look at some of those, like the stuff that goes on with Joe Rogan. Well, I'm not like a huge fan or anything, but I just you read all the articles and like everything he says in a 3-hour podcast twice a week
gets misquoted.
Well, and it's super under the microscope, just in general.
Sure.
Like, and you're never gonna make everyone happy. Like, I'm sure there are a ton of people who would listen to this podcast and be like, you know what, I love Ratatouille, and that's offensive. Like,
You know what's fucking offensive? When the rats take over and then you're fucking spoon feeding fondue cheese and fucking cleaning rat fur out of the fondue pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so offensive.
I kind of like where we're at. I kind of like this flying under the radar.
No, it's shouting into the void, Cody.
Yeah. Flying under the radar is not a bad podcast name, but there's got to be a million of those.
That could be our Patreon
TM,
podcast.
TM.
Original podcast idea, do not steal. No, but if I'm bestowing these warlock powers, Cody,
mm-hmm.
I can make it so the person doesn't have the controversy and the scandal that, say, Joe Rogan podcast has, or like a Will Smith incident. You know, imagine the sheer power that someone like that would wield. That might be enough to forestall the rat apocalypse.
Honestly, your powers are actually, like, the powers you are bestowing are much more powerful than anything that we've talked about up to this point. Like, the power to, like, social media influencers have a pretty ridiculous amount of power. Like, to be able to even show a few million people sometimes whatever image that you want to show them is
let's say pretty wild. Warlock, that you wish to fight Floyd Mayweather.
Take this Charizard, wear it around your neck.
Yeah, hey, like warlocks in D&D choose like Pact of the Chain, Pact mm-hmm. of the Tome, there's Pact of the Charizard,
Pact of the Zard, yep,
Pact of the Rat.
I like to think too that your like demon or god name, however whatever direction you want to go with this, is just like Twitar or something like that.
Twitar, yeah, there we go. Or like subscribe type.
Ooh, something. That's pretty good too.
Pact of the Scribe.
I'm into that.
Yep. No, that would be one. Being able to give someone influence and you know, a silver tongue and popularity. Because
you're gonna start the thing that makes yours so scary is that you're going to start to change public opinion. It's like controlling the news to an extent.
As Living Color said, cult of personality.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have a president, by the way.
Why stop there? I'm going to have every president.
Yeah, you're going to have like, oh.
We checked, the book. There's no law that says someone can't be president of two countries at once.
What's crazy to me, too, is like, as you continue to get more and more powerful, you get like more and more people on like the same social media who have your powers, who like mm-hmm. can work together. Like you become become the social network.
Yep. Imagine
it's terrifying. Imagine,
like, a president sitting down with like a Tom Brady-esque athlete and, you know, they look at each other and, you know, do we have privacy? Are we alone? Yes, I think so. The Secret Service has cleared all the bugs and I've asked them to leave. Wonderful. Has our Lord spoken to you lately? Like, this is some like Illuminati lizard people type shit. Now we are Joe Rogan.
Yeah, now we are Joe Rogan. By the way, recently one of the Joe Rogan episodes that came out is one of my favorites. I forget the guest's name, but they always just like light a bunch of candles and they wear like wizard cloaks, and it makes me very happy.
That's insane.
Those are like some of the only episodes I watch, and it's because they're both just being ridiculous. Yeah, and I just love that. Like,
hate watching it to make fun of it is the only acceptable form of
and like
Rogan.
Well, I just like to watch it because even during that episode, they're like, how ridiculous is this that this is the number one podcast in the world?
fuck Joe.
You say that during the podcast.
Anti-vax bullshit. God.
So funny.
Oh, man. So that would be one of the powers I would give, would be the cult of personality or the popularity.
So my question to you on that is, what is your alignment in this universe? What's your ultimate goal? Your goal.
I don't know, when they get 7.8 billion or whatever the current population is subscribers, then they summon me forth from the internet void that I've been trapped in, and I make my way onto the planet, and my dark reign is ushered in, and I
it's a dark reign, because you know you could go like the world peace route, the socialism route where everybody's happy.
Look, I consider myself a progressive, but when the alternative is a rat-controlled hell, drastic measures must be taken. I am the Victor Von Doom of this universe, and I go to my followers and I say, I have seen the future if we do not act. It's full of rats.
The rat-pocalypse.
The rat-pocalypse, because some idiot in France wanted to be a chef.
God, you're like a weird social media version of like Cable, where you've seen the future.
Yeah, I'm like Cable and Dr. Doom and fucking like all sorts. Like, look,
you're the Oracle.
I'm the Lex Luthor, Cable, Dr. Doom. If I don't take over the world, I've seen the rat infested future, and I will not allow this to happen.
Oh, that's real good. I'm really enjoying this. Okay, so if you, oh man, we both went pretty evil with that.
Oh, I'm 100% lawful evil. Like,
I think most of them are, like, right? If you're given a warlock powers, you're generally not a good person.
No, because it's a pact. It's lawful, right?
It serves, and you're only doing it to benefit yourself, also, right? Like, as the person who's giving the powers.
Yes and no. Yes and no.
But you don't, because just
I'm doing it to benefit society.
Right. But my thing is like, you don't, sorry, you don't, like a patron doesn't make a warlock for like nothing.
No, they make it for their own goals.
For their own, to drive their own.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay. If let's take this out of present day.
Okay.
What powers are you going to give to, like, a 5e warlock?
Ooh. I would give them So I'm a big fan of mobility. Mm-hmm. I personally would love to give my warlock some kind of Misty Step.
Okay.
Some kind of blink or Misty Step or yep. intangibility. Like being able to get around is huge. I would give them that combined with like some charm person type stuff, some stealth type stuff. I want a second story work kind of person. I want someone who will charm their way into the gala, sneak into the records room, and forge entries on the treasury to set up a monthly shipment of gold to my coffers for my earthbound or my planet bound or plane bound servants. Like, I need a James Bond.
Yeah, you're starting but you're also starting like an enterprise. Like you're starting like a
not necessarily an enterprise, but more so like all right, I can't affect things directly on this plane.
Right.
But gold buys a lot of muscle and mm-hmm. gold silences a lot of voices. Gold gets people to look the other way. Gold supplies people. Gold like basically, I'd build like the magical warlock version of the Yakuza.
Jesus. Okay.
Like, go to the outlying villages, right? So you're a D&D village that is ignored by the crown because you're mm-hmm. way fucking out there, right? And my warlock rocks up with a group of folks in tow and is like, "Hey, that windmill needs repair. Here, we'll fix that windmill. We'll." Patch up your outer wall, we'll fix your gate, we'll dig you a drainage ditch, you know, we'll mm-hmm. improve stuff, we'll bring you some food, here's some food, but you know, by the way, next time the king calls on you for taxes, don't worry about that. You send them, okay. give them to us, ship them to this address instead, and you build a power base, right? And so in order to do that, I'm going to need my warlock to be capable, stealthy, charming, and
you need yourself a bond.
Yeah, you need a bond. You need a leader. You need someone that people will respect and also kind of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, again, to go with the Dresden reference, I give my warlock powers that basically turn them into a John Marcone, like a highly effective mob boss.
I like it.
Build myself a criminal
You've
network.
You've got a little enterprise there, I know.
That eventually goes legitimate. Yeah. Destabilizes the throne. And then I can start preparing the world for the dark ritual to summon me back to the planet.
Again, a lot of darkness here.
Cody.
Wait, it's warlocks. I know. Oh, we're talking warlocks.
When the alternative is Ratatouille, no sacrifice is too great.
As the person who is bringing forth Ratatouille, I resent that.
No, you resemble that.
Whatever. I also resent it. Well, I hated it.
What is your 5e warlock?
That's got to be one of my favorite office quotes. I have been a victim of a hate crime. That's not a hate crime. Well, I hated it.
Yep. God damn it, Michael Scott.
So good. Let's see, if I'm in 5e, I'm going to sow chaos. By that, I mean, I'm going to give my warlocks powers and dominion over gravity. Meaning, ooh. I'm going to give them the power to become more, like, to increase their density kind of thing. Yep. Become more dense and affect, basically, like, become a graviton type of thing, right? It'd be like sure. the ships we were talking about, I think, on the Patreon episode that yep. make the grav wells kind of yep. thing.
So you wanna basically make your warlock Zarya from Overwatch.
See, but it's also, so a little bit, but I'm also envisioning it almost like lashing, where they could, like, increase the mass of their feet specifically,
right?
And that would let them stick to like a wall, right?
They could stick to walls, could stick items to other items, they could bend gravity around objects. Okay, so you want I think this is one of Matt Mercer's either wizard or sorcerer subclasses in one of the new Critical Role books, the Graviturge or Gravithurge. They get a lot of powers like this.
I didn't realize that I had stole this, but my end game is going to be a little different, I think.
Because if you didn't know about it, you didn't.
No, I mean, I definitely didn't know about it. But still, it's okay that it's been done before, because I'm going to change this up a little bit. Because part of the deal upon accepting my powers, and really the only part of the deal, is that at the end of your life, when you're done with these powers, you are transported and transformed into a planet.
Oh, shit.
So that's where you're getting all your mass from, right? Is that, like, your planetary mass kind of thing.
Hold the phone. Is this just, like, a weird version of Katamari Damacy?
I don't even know what that is. So, okay, yes.
That's the game where you play the little guy. It's the Japanese-ass game where you play the little dude and you roll the ball around and stuff sticks to the ball. Mm-hmm. And you start by rolling up like blades of grass. And eventually the ball gets big enough that you're rolling up like skyscrapers and shit.
And it's a little bit like that.
The goal is to build a star. Like, the whole premise of the game is your dad, the king of the cosmos, is like, oh, little prince, we don't have enough stars in the sky. Go down to this planet and collect things and build me enough mass to make a star. And so you just roll up random shit to build different sized stars. And you bring this ball of random shit to your cosmos dad. And he's like, oh, this is great. And he picks it up and he throws it out into space. And then it blinks into a star.
See, that's kind of exactly what I'm going for. So the way I picture this is I'm in like I'm stuck in the astral sea, or I'm in a demiplane kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I am in the void. I am the void, the infinite nothingness. And I am making warlocks to ultimately populate and make planets for my demiplane. And so I am turning them into, like, that would be Planet John. He was a good warlock one day. Awesome guy, but horrible to go party with.
That's why I turned him into a planet. And now we throw parties on it. Fuck you, John.
I think that makes like really cool pop. Like,
I really like it.
That you can increase your mass and stuff. Like, it would like allow you to basically be magnetic, kind of, is the way I'm picturing it. But like magnetic to anything.
It's also very different than what we've seen in 5e so far, right? I was operating within the normal constraints, but I really like the creativity of this, because imagine you're fighting this as an enemy, and you don't know where they're getting this power from, but it's very Dresden in the sense that like you're running towards them and all of a sudden you're frozen, and like not just frozen, but there's this like weight bearing down on you and you can't get up, like you're forced down to one knee as they like gesture towards you with their hand, and you don't know what this fucking guy is doing. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden you're really heavy. Like you can't move.
How about this? You're trying to run away or even claw or scrape yourself away, but you find yourself being pulled slowly, almost unable to gain ground as he slowly advances towards you because he's so massive. He's like sucking you in.
Hell yeah. Bonus points if it's like, oh, and you thought you were going to run away. Like, or like the NPC that your characters have like enjoyed and like come to love throughout the campaign charges in, and your warlock, which I'm assuming is the big bad evil guy for some reason.
Going to be a planet someday.
Yep. Your warlock looks at this person, snaps their fingers, and they rocket into the sky.
That's the best part, too. Yes. I was literally about to bring up, we've been talking about making yourself heavy and how that would be great, but this power would also mean you could make yourself fucking weigh nothing.
The scary part is, I wasn't talking about the warlock. I was talking about the NPC.
Oh, that's horrible. That's worse than Ratatouille.
They just, Team Rocket's blasting off again.
Oh.
And then you just look at the party and are like, I've sent them to my lord. They're not coming
float
back.
Float into eternity. There's an episode of Rick and Morty where that happens to Jerry. Where he ends up like, there's good like this. It's a really, I mean, it got me thinking one time about stuff like that, right? Where you would be like, just floating or whatever, and how fucking like dangerous that is.
Yep. You know? Oh yeah. It's scary.
Yeah.
Crazy shit.
Wild.
But like, also, why in my mind is your, like, your warlock, because of the voice I said I've sent him to my lord in, he's like Colossus in the Deadpool movies, but he's, like, tall and skinny, and he's Delamain from Cyberpunk.
I'm super into that. Yeah, definitely like, into this.
We've found what happens to you. You've made a deal with him, and you realize you're going to become a planet, right? Of course. That's the goal, after all, isn't it? Like, just fully committed to whatever sinister Cody-based tasks he's been
so good.
Told to do.
So
just
good.
Like, a cross between the Terminator and Mr. X from Resident Evil. Just, like, inexorably hunting the players. When they catch up, the players can't escape.
It's a little Apocalypse to me from X-Men.
Yeah, actually.
And not the shitty Apocalypse we got on screen, but like good Apocalypse, like from the comics.
Sure.
Yeah, I love it.
That's kind of surreal. So let's go to the other side of the coin.
Okay.
That we hadn't talked about yet, which is if Mike and Cody, as we are today, could bestow warlock powers, like based on ourselves.
It's gonna suck.
I know, but what powers would we be able to give?
What powers would I be able to give? Now that's tougher.
No, assume you are some kind of deity level being, mm-hmm. But your domains are all things Cody.
Oh boy, I don't know.
I'm not even vamping, folks. I just let him. I let him stew on it. Woodworking.
I mean, woodworking's got to be in there, but like, I haven't even done that in months now
because you've been preparing to get married.
Right, which turns out it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Who knew?
Who fucking knew? Woodworking, definitely yep. there.
Yeah.
Running, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna golf. For
I was
sure.
about to say golf.
They're finna golf.
Cody's no slouch at golf, folks.
But you know what? They can't putt. If we're talking real life. I'm gonna give my warlocks the ability to be great golfers, but then they just can't putt.
So they're a really good scramble like player.
Yeah. That's definitely my vibe.
As part of your bargain with me, the great Cody Campbell, you will be able to golf like bogey golf minimum, but usually better than that.
I pictured this much more like Green Goblin voice where it's like you will have the ability to golf relatively well, but you will not putt.
we're talking like a lot of three putts. And you won't feel good about it. It'll be really shit, but the rest of it, you'll be good.
Why is my Green Goblin voice the same as my Lich voice?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same. I get it.
It's the same.
Mine's the same, too. Yeah. Same voice.
But you will be able to woodwork like a motherfucker. You want to make bottle openers?
It's all planes and no birdies for you, my friend.
Oh, my God. All planes, no birdies. Fuck. That was great,
right?
That's a great, that's a great shirt. Like all planes and a hand plane, no birdies with a golf, like an iron underneath it.
Pretty great.
That's not bad.
Thank you.
That's pretty solid. Right on. Fuck. I would say for mine, God, things I'm good at or things I could bestow.
There's lots.
Oh, come on now.
There's lots.
Well, there's lots for you too. We just didn't get as far into it. Well, we'll get there. We'll probably do biking, endurance. That would be good.
Endurance is like a crazy one. Like, that's very... Your warlock's going to be a lot more powerful than mine already.
I don't think so, because your warlock is going to... Your warlock will be able to hustle.
All planes, no birdies.
Hey, it don't matter. Probably biking, endurance, and then maybe, like, I don't know. I used to do a lot of, like, trap and skeet shooting back in the day and got half decent at it, but... The Mike Warlock would not be as good as the younger brother Dan Warlock in that category. So, like,
the Dan Warlock. That's terrible.
He went to state for trap shooting, dude, in high school.
That's fair.
He went to state for that shit. Moderate culinary proficiency, I think. Yours would definitely be better than mine in that area, but
I don't know about that. But
oh, yeah, come on.
Baking, maybe. I like to bake.
The Emily Warlock.
Emily the Warlock, bake. Yep.
Bacon art.
Bacon art?
Ooh. Did you ever... You ever made bacon brownies?
I have not, but that sounds good. Salty, sweet.
That was a huge thing my freshman year in my hall, and nobody else has, like, ever heard of it or done it, and I'm like...
Really? I've had chocolate-covered bacon before.
It's exactly like that, but, like, yeah. Right under the top layer of the brownies, you, like, lattice the bacon in there.
Jesus.
And it's real good.
It's gotta just, yep. I mean, bacon grease in the brownie is just that's a vibe.
You feel your arteries clogging with every bite, but god damn it, the ratatouille rat is making you make it.
Hey, as someone who just got off of 40 days of being vegan, I am fucking in.
Yep. Hey, you did it. You did it. Ooh, that could be another one. Self-control or fasting. You've good. You did it.
Yeah, but I hated it. Maybe that's part of the power. Like, you can do it, but you hate the fact that you can do it.
Ooh, you know what yours would get? Contracts and law understanding.
Blech. Terrible. I like it, though.
Imagine being able to outwit the Fae at a contract.
I don't know if I'm that good at it. I can read it. Comprehension is good.
You outdid your HOA, and that's got to count for something. Like, yes, what is on the agenda for the Winter Court today? Well, we're going to swindle one Mr. Campbell out of several of his more valuable possessions. Wait, Campbell. He's the one the HOA won't even fuck with. Leave him alone. That's what, bad news.
The Ratatouille guy?
We must stop him, but we can't catch him out. He just... What mortal reads the fine print? He fucking reads it. Why does he read it?
It's the only person who reads the terms and conditions from Apple.
Dude, that would be a warlock power. Like, being able to, like, find out all the benefits and shit in there. Like, nobody uses all their credit card benefits. Like,
no.
There's so much shit, like concierge services, travel, all that. Like, it's like someone being able to use 100% of their brain.
Man, 100% of your brain. Then be a good one.
Fuck.
It's like the limitless powers.
They find a way to get out of being my warlock.
Fair. That's very fair. That's a great idea where, like, you make a warlock and then you accidentally make too good a warlock.
Look at me. You're the warlock now.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Is that... Holy shit. Is that not what just happened in Ratatouille? Remy saves... No. Linguini saves Remy.
Yep.
Gives him a place to stay. Takes him home. Bestows gifts upon him. Shelter, mm-hmm. food, water. And then Remy turns the tables and says, I'm the master and you're the warlock now. I'm going to give you cooking powers and you're going to make your dreams come true. But you dance to my tune, human boy. Ratatouille is the story of a warlock becoming a patron.
Yeah, that's real. I like it.
I don't. It's fucked up.
It's cyclical. I like
it. It's sick is what it is.
I don't know. As the patron god of Ratatouilles, I'm in.
All right, you can have Ratatouille. I'll have cars. We'll see who wins.
No. the Cards universe is just
I hate that shit. There goes Remy. Remy walks in, walks on down the wrong street and ends up in Le Mans during the fucking race, and just Lightning McQueen takes out Remy.
Oh god, now we've got a giant crossover event.
Ka-chow.
And it's all on planet John's.
Who was your warlock?
Oh, anyway, man.
Folks, if you're still here,
why?
Why? And also, thank you. We really appreciate you listening. Much. This episode got out of hand. If you liked this,
it's almost like the rats have taken over. They're driving.
They make us podcast. They can't make us talk, but they sure can make us sit here. Yep. If you subscribe to the Patreon right now, that's money that's on the internet that the rats can't touch just yet. And it helps us build up our fund to eventually secure our freedom. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, there's more like it on the Patreon. If you hated it, well, there's more like it on the Patreon. we really appreciate it, folks. I need to go wash my brain.
Yeah. Use soap.
I guess.
I feel like I just ran a mile or something.
It's the rats, dude.
It's the rats.
Ratatouille is a dystopian hellscape. Discuss in the comments. We'll see you. My name is Mike.
And I'm Cody. Happy 75 episodes.
Happy 75 episodes. We're both being controlled by rats.
The rat future is inevitable.
Unless we go back in time and stop it.
Ain't gonna happen.
Fuck. Bye.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.